Blog Talk Radio.
I know who you came here to see. If you a freak, then you come on with me. And I know what you came here to do. Now bust it open, let me see you get loose. It's going down for real.
Seven straight days, my goodness. Seven straight days of DFS caches at FantasySquads.com using our premium service. We're talking $2 per day, or if you want to buy a weekend pass, $5. And if you want to buy a two-week pass, it's $10. That's eight lineups. So let me break this down for you a little bit deeper. Seven consecutive days on DraftKings, specifically, our guy, Matt McComb, he's going to be on one of these weeks, and we're going to talk a little DFS. Plus, we're doing the weekend podcast. If you haven't checked that out, on Saturday afternoons, we're breaking down the Saturday slate. For now, we want to expand that, but for now, that's what we're doing. Seven straight days, winning lineups. I mean, this is like handing you money. That's really what it is. And it's cheap. Check us out, FantasySquads.com, Daily Fantasy Sports, on the front page. Click it. All your options are there. It's laid out real nice for you. Check it out. Give us a shot. You're going to be satisfied. Listen, my name is David Kerr from FantasySquads.com, at AskRotoBaseball on Twitter. I'm flying solo tonight. I did this 2 weeks ago. It worked out just fine. I'm going to do it tonight. We're going to have a little bit of an abbreviated show tonight. I'm a little under the weather, if you can't tell. So I don't really want to talk for an hour. Plus, I have to do an appearance on the Fantasy Alarm podcast at 10 o'clock, so it kind of works out well. I started the show a little bit later tonight to give my voice a little bit more rest. So if I'm coughing, I apologize. I'll try to get to the juice of the info that I have, and then we'll just keep rolling through it here and hopefully be able to bang the show out in a half hour. If you want to call in, the number is 347-855-8714 with your fantasy baseball questions. You can include DFS questions in that, whatever you want. Whatever you got tonight for me, I'm here to answer for you. So give us a call, and we'll take care of it. First guy I want to talk about tonight, I got some players to talk about, I got some streamers, and then just a few underperforming pitchers I want to talk about. First guy I want to talk about is Hanley Ramirez. I hit another bomb tonight. Hanley Ramirez looking good. He's a guy that we know can hit, obviously. He's one of the best hitters, overall hitters in the league whenever he is healthy. And he seems to be healthy right now. He came into a good situation in Boston, signed with Boston this past offseason. He's playing left field. He's done okay out there. Today went 1-for-4 with a home run and 3 strikeouts. Who cares about the strikeouts? Because he got the home run, right? So he's sitting at 10 home runs and 22 RBIs. Here's the deal with Hanley Ramirez. You know, it's all a matter of health with this guy. Is he going to stay healthy? That's hard to predict. But if there's somebody in your league that you can pull him off of, he's an injury risk, whatever. You know, if you're a good sweet talker, maybe he's a guy that you'd be able to get. Now, the other thing to think about here is maybe he's a sell high guy, because we think that the injury is inevitable. Sometimes the injury never comes. But if we look at Masahiro Tanaka yesterday, everybody said, I have to say everybody. I don't know one fantasy expert that didn't say like, oh, okay, push all your chips in on Masahiro Tanaka this year. Everybody said he's bound to get injured. Well, he got injured yesterday. It's inevitable he's going to go down with Tommy John surgery. If the Yankees try to, rehab him, I don't think it's going to work out how they want to, but hey, they might try it. But nevertheless, I believe that it's a good idea for fantasy owners to maybe try to sell high. I can see both arguments of it. But if you're going to sell high, you need to get at least equal value. And we're talking top tier players here. You know, we're talking somebody maybe like Jacoby Ellsbury that is going to get a lot of stolen bases. We're talking Troy Tulowitzki, another injury risk, kind of offsets him. Edwin Encarnacion, he's a good guy. He's been struggling a little bit. But you know the power's coming. You know that the average is going to rise. You know the walks are going to be there. So those are two guys, a couple of guys that you should look at maybe if you want to unload Hanley Ramirez. But Hanley Ramirez is the truth, and he is going to he's going to hit as long as he's healthy. So keep that in mind. Next guy I want to talk about is Devin Travis from the Toronto Blue Jays. Travis had never played above Double A before this season. With with Double A Erie last year, he had 10 home runs, 52 RBIs, and 16 steals while batting .298. So, you know, decent plate discipline, 60 strikeouts, 37 walks. It's worth noting that 2013 in single A, he had more walks than strikeouts, and that was over 35 walks, 32 strikeouts, over 339 plate appearances. So this is a guy that has the plate discipline. He has some pop. He has some speed. The question is whether he can maintain this type of production for the rest of the season. Well, he's on pace to hit 44 home runs and drive in 140 RBIs. If he does that, he's your MVP this year. But he's not going to do that. We all know that. Question here, the question that remains here is what should we do if we own Devin Travis? Well, he's another guy to sell high on. He's a rookie, and rookies are bound to have rough patches. I remember Gregory Polanco came into the league last year and had a really hot start. Not this type of start, but a really hot start. And then he went like 0 for 39 at one point. That might be exaggerating a little bit, but he literally had maybe one or two hits over like 40 or 50 at-bats. So it's bound to happen to Travis, I would say. 342 average doesn't, you know, that's going to probably fall into the 270 range by the end of the season, which is still solid for a rookie. His hot start's going to help him stay, you know, keep that average at a high level for a while. But you know, he's another guy you might want to look to sell high on. Not saying that he's not going to finish the season with good numbers. He probably will, but a lot of that's going to be coming right now from what he's done. I would say that 15 home runs and 10 steals would be that would be a solid amount, a solid guess for the end, for what his numbers will be at the end of the season. But we don't know that, we don't really know that until we see him continue. And if he continues to stay hot, he's going to have those kind of numbers, no doubt. So Devin Travis is a guy that you may want to sell high on, but he might be worth just sitting there and holding on to, because middle infield gets kind of rough at times, and Travis is a solid option. Speaking of Gregory Polanco, let's talk about him a little bit. Gregory Polanco, from the Pirates, he is a guy that came into the league last year. He's been pretty solid this year. He's dealt with a groin injury the past couple of days, but that doesn't seem to be serious, as he was back in the lineup tonight. He's hitting .292 against right-handed pitching, 6 steals, and 1 home run against right-handers. He has 7 steals total. He's batting .222 against lefties, so that's not that's not great by any stretch, but and he's not drawn walks. He only has 2 walks. So what we need to see from Polanco, what we want to see from Polanco's fantasy owners, is that average bumped up into the 250, 260 range against lefties. That would be good. And we want to see him be a little bit more, well, not a little bit more, but a lot more disciplined at home or at the plate, because he's just not getting it done with as far as the walks are concerned. So, but the good news is here, he's 23 years old, he's got plenty of room to grow. He's going to grow into his frame. He's got those long legs. He's kind of like a gazelle out there. He's going to be able to run. He's going to continue to develop pop. And, you know, the Pirates may have 3 20-20 guys in their outfield this year. If it's possible. Not probable, but possible. Marte and McCutchen, we've already talked about Marte on the show a million times. I love him. I think he's going to have better fantasy statistics than McCutchen this season. I was on record saying that. McCutchen's going to be McCutchen. He's going to come around. We know that. Polanco, maybe a few years, but he is going to hit, you know, he's going to be a guy I think can hit 20 home runs and steal 20, 30, 35, 40 bags a year. And I'm down with that. I like Gregory Polanco. 347-855-8714 is the number. You can give us a call, and I'm flying solo tonight. So, if you're out there and you want to, talk some baseball, hit me up. 347-855-8714. Adini Hekavaria is another guy. He was named NL Player of the Week last week. Let's go over his numbers from the last week here, if I can bring them up. Okay. Hekavaria, he started out 1 for 20, and then 6 games last week went 12 for 24. That's a .500 average with 8 runs scored and 10 RBIs. And he even hit a home run. So, helping the Marlins out. They were struggling there. Reeled off 5 straight victories. Thanks to Hekavaria. Hey, he's worth an ad in 12-team leagues if he's still available on your wire, because he's hitting for average. He's got a couple of home runs. He could steal a bag on occasion. So that's something that we always need in fantasy. Batting .325 on the year. 16 RBIs, he's never going to be able to maintain that type of RBI production. Let's play the on-pace game here. Hekavaria is on pace for 118 RBIs. Comical, but it's just the way it goes whenever you're doing projections for the rest of the season. But in the short term, you know, he's actually kind of cooled down at the plate the past 2 games, but before that he was doing quite swell. So I would recommend Hekavaria if you need some average help and maybe a little speed if you are in the market for that. So that's 12 team leagues. You know, if you're weak at middle infield in 10-team leagues, I could see adding him in the short term, but he's definitely not a long-term solution because he'll cool off and he'll probably get dumped right back onto the waiver wire once this hot streak is over. Final guy I want to talk about as I go over players here is Chris Archer. You know, I've been using him in DFS a lot because he strikes guys out. When I bring Matt on the show, Matt McComb, our DFS guy at fantasysquads.com, we'll talk a little bit about picking pitchers in DFS. He's a guy to target in DFS. He's a guy you want to own in season-long leagues because he is filthy. This guy is nasty on the mound. Let's go over his numbers real quick. He started 5 games. He's 3-2. Who cares about that? It doesn't matter what his record is. He has a .84 ERA, that'll rise. He's a .742 WHIP, that'll rise. But here is what we really want to look at with him. The strikeouts, 37 strikeouts in 32 1/3 innings pitched. Sure, that's great. 10.3 K per 9, awesome. Love that from Chris Archer. But there's something even better to look at here, and that is his strikeout to walk ratio. 37 strikeouts, 6 walks this year. 6.17 strikeout to walk ratio. I mean, this is a career low, 1.7 walks per 9 inning for Chris Archer. I mean, the guy, he's just nasty. There was one thing stopping Chris Archer from becoming an elite level pitcher. And that was cutting the walks down. And he's done that. Hopefully he can maintain it all season long. But if he does, you know, we're looking at a guy that could be a Cy Young contender. Because, you know, he pitches in a great home ballpark. And it's not like – here's the thing with Chris Archer, okay? It's not like he went out and faced the Twins 2 games and he's faced you know, he's faced the Phillies. You know, this is a player. This is a guy that's faced the Blue Jays twice. He's faced some good offenses so far this season. and he just mows them down. He's just mowed them down. His first five starts, he's faced Toronto twice, Boston once, and Baltimore on opening day, first start of the season. Since his opening day start, he's only given up zero earned runs. So he's not going to do that every game, obviously. But Chris Archer, somebody wants to sell high, I'd be buying Chris Archer, because with that walk rate, that's what stands out to me. That walk rate, boy, oh boy, that's something I want a piece of. It's something I definitely want a piece of. And, Archer is a guy with the strikeouts, the low walk rate this year. He's really come into his own, and we might be looking at a budding ace in baseball, and especially for fantasy owners. All right, streaming pitchers. Got some names here. I wrote some names down, and these aren't necessarily guys that I would want to stream, but on paper they look like they're guys that would be streaming options. Let's go over these quickly. First one is Alfredo Simon. He faces off against the Royals tomorrow, and he brings into the game 1.65 ERA, 0.95 WHIP, and 15 strikeouts and 27 and a third innings pitch. That's solid. I mean, he's getting the job done. I don't think that we know the whole story here on Simon, because the strikeout, he's never been a strikeout pitcher. Yet he's always been able to get some solid results. He's a pitch to contact guy. The Royals are a contact team. They're not a strikeout team. I don't think this is a good matchup for Simon. He may only give up, two or three earned runs, but I think he's going to be very hittable on Thursday. And I think you should just stay away from him. And if you're streaming pitchers, I think he's going to hurt the WHIP a little bit, and he's not going to get you the K's that you want. The Royals don't strike out much at all. I think they're dead last in strikeouts in the league. So they're not a team that's going to strike out. And the Royals, Simon could prove to be pretty hittable. So I would avoid him as a streaming option, even though when you look at the numbers, his overall numbers, he seems to be like a pretty decent option. So I would avoid Alfredo Simon tomorrow. Sending a tweet out there. Sorry. Okay. Next guy is, this is fun. I only picked this guy so I could pick on him. Thursday night, the Mariners travel to Houston, and they'll take on the Astros. They're in Texas tonight. Okay, so James Paxton starting for the Mariners opposite Scott Feldman for the Astros. Okay, so Paxton on paper, name value, people have always kind of liked him. I don't know why. He's just an average left-hander to me. Sporting a 6.86 ERA, 1.58 WHIP. Guess what? If I'm playing DFS tomorrow night, I'm stacking Astros in tournaments because they're going to tee off on James Paxton. So there's your answer to your question. Do not stream James Paxton tomorrow because he's going to get bobbed. He's going to get shelled by Houston's right-handed hitting. Chris Carter, Evan Gattis, George Springer. They're going to obliterate him, and you should avoid James Paxton tomorrow. He's more hype than anything else. So if you're on that James Paxton, I have a buddy that loves James Paxton, and I keep telling him I'm not sure what his man crush is. So James Paxton, stay away. Okay, next guy I want to talk about here as a streaming option this weekend is Anthony Desclafani. He'll be up against Trevor Cahill against in Atlanta on Friday night. This is a solid streaming option here because he's facing the Braves. His numbers are good: 104 ERA, 21 strikeouts in 26 innings pitched, .77 WHIP. He's helped a little bit by the fact he only gave up one earned run against the Cubs a few days ago. But that's okay. That happens and keeps the numbers looking fresh. So the thing here with Desclafani, I mean, you know, the Braves have actually been hitting the ball pretty well lately. So it's going to be a situation where either Desclafani halts that train or the Braves continue to tee off. I'm willing to take that risk. He's a right-handed pitcher. The Braves don't have great bats. They're just kind of hot right now. But I think he'll be able to pick up a win. I'm sure once odds are posted, Vegas will have him as a heavy favorite against the Braves. And six innings, a quality start, five or six strikeouts seems I don't want to say it's a lock, but it's pretty close to a lock. So he's another guy that I would consider, or he's really the first guy I would consider streaming. Consider streaming out of the three that I mentioned. Now I'm going to go through here and see if there's anybody on Saturday. I looked over a little bit and didn't really see anyone that stood out. Taiwan Walker's a guy. He pitches Saturday against the Astros. You know, we know Walker struggled this season, but you know, he did do much better in his last start against Texas and the previous start against Houston, and he struck out eight Houston batters. It's a guy, he's going to be pitching in a hitter's ballpark on Saturday, but I would still probably take the risk because he showed a little bit more poise on the mound, and he's been much better. Last start against Texas, six hits, one walk, five strikeouts, and seven innings pitched. Solid. Very nice performance out of Taiwan Walker. The K's are going to be there, and if he's going to rack K's up against any team, it's going to be the Astros. So keep that in mind. Taiwan Walker's a guy you might want to start. So we'll say no to Simon because the Royals are very hittable. Hell no to James Paxton because he's terrible. Desclafani, we'll give him a gamble against the hot-hitting Braves. And Taiwan Walker, I'm good with that. Starting against the Astros because he should get some strikeouts. All right, last segment here before we get out of here. I told you we're going to have an abbreviated show, and that's exactly what we're going to do. The phone lines are still open at 347-855-8714 if you want to talk. I got three underperforming pitchers, Corey Kluber, Julio Teheran, and Doug Fister. Start with Corey Kluber. There's nothing to worry about here. As far as I'm concerned, Corey Kluber is just hit a little bit of a rough patch. He faced off against the Royals yesterday. And what did I just say about the Royals? They're a contact team. They make contact. They don't strike out a lot. Well, if you're putting the ball in play, good things can happen. If you're striking out, nothing good can happen. But if you're putting the ball in play, good things can happen. Kluber's kind of started off this season like he did last season, a little bit. He's a little bit worse last season, but I had picked him up in one league last year because somebody dropped him after a couple of bad starts. I don't think anybody's going to do that this year given his track record, but you know, who knows? It's certainly possible. But sitting at a 4.24 ERA, that'll come down when 26 WHIP will come down. Still has 36 strikeouts and 34 innings pitched. It's what we want to see from him. He's only issued seven walks. So things will be fine for Corey Kluber. If you're an owner, just be patient. He'll be fine. Once the weather heats up and he gets in a groove, he'll be mowing guys down with several double-digit strikeout performances this season. Without question, he has a great track record, and it's just a matter of time before things turn around for him. His FIP is 2.58. I mean, his FIP last year was 2.35, finished the season with a 2.44 ERA. He's got a little bit of bad luck so far. But, you know, that'll change itself. You know, 362 BABIP, I mean, we're looking at the ground ball rate's still the same from last year. 48.9% was 48% last year. So these things are going to even out. These things are going to even out. He's going to be fine. And somebody's looking to sell. He's a good buy low candidate. Definitely a good buy low candidate. All right, next guy, Doug Fister. Doug Fister is what he is. I mean, I like Doug Fister. He's a solid guy. He's a pitch to contact guy, but he's not anything special. But I like him. He's going to get wins once the Nationals get their act together and they start winning some games. He'll be fine. But he has a 4.0 K per nine number this year. Not good. His walk rate's up 3.28. I think this should all even out for him. But you know, he's a little bit of an overrated guy. I will say he's a little bit overrated, but like I said, he won 16 games last year and 25 starts for the Nationals. So just given the team he's playing on, he's going to win games. ERA is a little bit deceiving, as I mentioned, 3.28 ERA. He hasn't pitched that well. The WHIP's high, but 1.46 WHIP. But I think things will even out. The WHIP will come down. The ERA should probably about stay the same, really. But the rest of the numbers will kind of even out. I don't expect a big bump in strikeouts, though. Maybe another strikeout per nine inning, maybe bump that up to five, but that's a guy you avoid in DFS. You know, he may pitch six or seven innings with two or three strikeouts. Well, you're not getting points for the strikeouts, and strikeouts, at least I know on DraftKings, are worth 2.25 points, or 2 points per strikeout, 2.25 points per inning pitched. So you want the strikeouts. Julio Teheran. This is the guy that, out of these three, that's probably the toughest to gauge. The peripherals have been saying the past season and a half that he would regress, and it looks like maybe he's starting to. Just looking at his numbers here, his BABIP has risen from last year. It's at 308. It was 267 last year. He's leaving less guys on base, too. 68.3% of the time he's leaving runners on base. Last year it was 75.9. The year before it was 80.9. So he's getting lucky there. Ground ball rate's about the same. Home run. Here's the kicker for Teheran. Home run to fly ball ratio, 21.4%. I hope that doesn't stay that way all year. He's going to be in big trouble. Six home runs. He's already given up six home runs in 27 innings pitched. I think things are going to get better for Teheran, but this is going to be a down year for him in general, I think, because the Braves aren't a very good team, so he's not going to get many wins. And, the strikeout rate's down, the walk rate's up. 9.9%, he's walking, his walk percentage is 9.9%, his strikeout percentage is 8.2%. Both those numbers, the strikeout percentage is down from last year, that's a bad thing. The walk rate, or walk percentage is up from last year, that's a bad thing. And his strikeout to walk ratio percentage is down from last year. That's a bad thing. So sitting on a 1.56 WHIP, this might be the season where we see him in the high 120s as far as WHIP goes, or the low 130s. Buying low, I don't know that I want to do that with Teheran. I think I just kind of said I want to see him make a couple of good starts and see if he can get these ratio straightened out before I'd be buying into them. All right, that'll do it for me tonight. Thank you for listening as I've hacked here. In a half hour, I'll be on the Fantasy Alarm podcast at 10 p.m. Find them on Blog Talk Radio. I think it's blogtalkradio.com/fantasyalarm.com. I think is their handle on Blog Talk, but I'll tweet out a link here in a bit. If you're listening on demand, obviously you'll have to find the show, the Fantasy Alarm Show, if you want to hear me. I think I'll be talking buy low, sell high, guys. Let me see. I have my list here. Let me see here. Oh, I don't have it on me. Sorry about that. But I will be talking buy low, sell highs with Howard Bender in about a half hour at 10 o'clock. So, check out the weekend podcast here. I think Matt and I will be back this weekend. We had some stuff going on. last weekend where we couldn't do it, but we should be back next weekend. This weekend coming up to talk DFS for the Saturday slate, the Saturday evening slate. So thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with a guest. Appreciate you hanging tight with me for a half hour. Hopefully you gained some knowledge. As always, follow me on Twitter at AskGrottoBaseball and check out FantasySquads.com and be sure to sign up for a DFS pass. Just $2 gets you in the door. We're going to give you a winning lineup. Good night, everybody.